Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is The Good Life, food, wine, and all the good things of life. Now, here's the host of The Good Life, Guy Bauer.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the program. It's a hot one out here in the Flatlands. I hope wherever you are, it's not too hot. But you know, it's starting to be like summer. It's supposed to be hot. A month ago, we were groaning about the cold. Welcome to the program, food, wine, and fun for yours every Saturday here in the Entercom Good Life studio at the KNSS board. Max Power is working the board today. Maybe later, we have to get Max to come on the air with me, and we'll tell you a little about his background in rock and roll as a DJ and rock star Corvette owner. Today's program is so appropriate for hot weather. It's about ice cream cones, and then a little about what you can put in ice cream cones. When I saw this press release, I thought, what a great story. And then I started doing some kind of bouncing around the internet and doing a little research, and oh my goodness, the story is phenomenal. We won't have enough time, but we're lucky enough to carve out some time from David George's busy weekend. He's the president and CEO of Joy Cone Company in Pennsylvania. He's been part of the family business since he was 12 years old. You got to love that. His granddad started it in 1918, but the story is preceded by some other things that we'll talk about. He became the president in 2007 and the CEO in 2011. There's the big facility in Pennsylvania and another one out in Arizona, and he's nice enough to talk to us today. David George, welcome to The Good Life.
Thank you, Guy. Happy to be here.
My goodness, mister, you guys make good stuff. And I told the PR guy, I said, you know, you don't need ice cream. You can eat these like cookies and they're low-cal.
That's music to our ears. Thank you.
Well, I have so many questions, and I want you to be in depth because I want to go back. I found an article. I didn't verify it, but it talked about, what would she be to you? Shanine George. Was she your great-grandmother?
Yes, she was my great-grandmother, my dad's paternal grandmother.
Wow. This story is so cool. And then before we get into this, and I want you to talk about her and her voyage on the Titanic, there's so many. When you think of the things that could have gone left or right and things that, you know, could have happened, it's phenomenal. I got to tell you, though, here in the flatlands of Kansas, we have a very significant population of Lebanese folks that go way back. The Farhas and, oh, man, there's a bunch of great names here. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's some distant relatives that live here that have some connection to you. And we have the best Lebanese restaurants in town, too.
Oh, that's great to know. I didn't know that about Wichita.
Yeah, it's... let's talk about you. Go back to okay. This 38-year-old Shanine George boarded the Titanic. She had lived in the States already, from what I understand, and then was in Europe to go back, I think, if I remember right, for a funeral for one of her sons, who was still back in Lebanon, and
right.
Got on the fateful Titanic. Can you kind of fill in this open spots for that story?
Sure, I can. In many ways, it was the traditional immigrant story, although often it would be the father who would come over to the United States. But my great-grandmother, as you mentioned, made a couple of trips. And she would come to the United States, work as a laborer. She would knock on doors and clean houses and things like that. And when she would make enough money, she would come back and get another child. But and when she came back prior to the return on the Titanic, it was for a funeral, unfortunately. And so she was here. She was home in Lebanon for a little bit. And then she was ready to come to the United States again. Now, on this trip, she didn't have one of her children, though she had a cousin who was much younger. So she boarded the Titanic and obviously set off from there. And when she would talk about it, what she said, it was very chaotic. They knew something had happened, but she didn't know what. And, you know, she barely spoke any English at all. Basically, somebody in a uniform, somebody working on the ship, came. She was in steerage, so she was, you know, third-class passenger. And somebody came down and grabbed her and were pointing her to go, you know, toward the exit. And she was worried about somebody else in her party, and they just wouldn't. They just grabbed her and just, you know, go, go, go. And they pushed her out. Out up under the deck of the boat, and then was, you know, obviously listing badly at that point. And she got on to the second to the last safety boat that was a lifeboat that was attached to the ship.
Wow.
And in fact, the last one was never used. So she was on the last lifeboat that pulled away from the Titanic. Yeah, it's an amazing story. You know, if she hadn't gotten on that boat, I wouldn't be talking to you here today, that's for sure.
You know, if anybody who has done any even basic genealogy, you know, with any of the apps that help you do that, this is the kind of story that, one, you certainly looking back, and your children, I hope, looking back, will be proud of. And it's kind of what America started with. And to think of... just the thought of coming from your home with little money and no language skills, even today, would be a scary proposition with all the things that can help you. But back then, and to have come from bearing her son and then lose cousins on the ship, and man, what a story. And then let's talk about, let's see, where did Albert fit in? This was your grandfather, right?
That's my grandfather, my dad's dad, and Albert was one of Shonini's four children.
Yeah, there you go.
And he came over, I think it was 1915, and Albert came, he had a fourth grade level education, so he knew no English, he couldn't read or write or speak English, but he knew the alphabet because he learned a little bit of French in grade school in Lebanon. And by then, there was a Lebanese community established in Youngstown, Ohio, which is very close to the Ohio-Pennsylvania border. And Shonini was living there. So he came to the United States, and like a lot of immigrants, you know, he was going to work hard. He didn't have much in his pocket, but it was a way to have a better life here. And he was an enterprising young man. He would start small little things. He had a little grocery store. He had a bowling alley. And a fellow Lebanese immigrant, not a relative, but a Lebanese immigrant, came upon a hand-operated cone oven where you literally would pour batter into a mold, stick the mold in an oven, wait a minute or two, pull it out, and then pull the cones out. Anyway, he came to Albert. He said, if you run the business, I'll make the cones. And that's kind of how Joy Cone got started in 1918.
God. There's a tangent story that I'm sure you know and can relate to my listeners. It is about how ice cream got put in a cone. And it... again, another little thing that just happened really set the stage for success.
Yes. Now, I'll have to admit, there's a little bit of debate as to who actually invented the ice cream cone. But as you mentioned, we're of Lebanese descent. So we believe in the story where a Syrian actually invented the cone. So that dates back to the 1904 World's Fair in St. Louis. And there was a stand that a gentleman was selling ice cream and putting them in a dish. And then Ernest Tomley, I believe his last name was next to him, and he had a booth, and he was selling waffles. So the gentleman selling ice cream ran out of dishes, and Homley then took a waffle and turned it into a conical shape and gave that to the ice cream supplier, and he started serving ice cream in the waffle cone.
Wow.
So that's the very first cones were actually waffle cones, but it's ironic that the first cones we made and the first cones that really took off were cake cones, which were our molded product.
I'll be damned.
But that started in 1904, and by 1918, there were a couple of companies making cones. So my grandfather wasn't the first one to start a cone plant, but he was one of the first.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's do. We need to take a break and pay a couple bills, but let's hold that thought. The idea of how cones being produced progressed from the early 1900s to mid 1900s, and what role the family played in both growth and prosperity, and we'll talk about that. I think if you don't mind, I'm going to probably fill a cone and munch it during this break. So, my guest today is David George. The company is called Joy Cones. You can find them at joycone.com. It is ice cream cones that you want. In fact, you've had them before, because most anybody who's anybody that sells any kind of frozen concoction, ice cream, sherbet, whatever, probably has Joy Cones in their store. And you can buy them right here in Wichita, too. And they're so good. We'll be right back. Joy Cones. And later, some food and wine fun for your ears.
Giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.